Once again, I'd like to thank the elders for this opportunity. And truly, I am honored to stand before you today. Because when I came here, I knew some of the truth, but I heard a brother on the radio speaking some things, and I said, well, man, that doesn't sound right. So I went myself to try to prove him wrong. Try to say, well, he said we shouldn't have mechanical instruments in our worship. And I said, that don't sound right, because I was raised in the Catholic Church, and we had mechanical instruments. So I went to prove them wrong and prove myself wrong. And so once I came to that conclusion, I said, well, what else are these brothers teaching? What else is he teaching? And so I came here for a gospel meeting, and I heard a brother up here speaking, and I knew that the truth was being preached here because it was in this book. And so I thank you. I mean, I've lived in the Western all my life. And just here in the last few years that I know this church was here. And a lot of people are probably the same way. Don't know that this church is trying to strive to be faithful before God. So that's why we should continue doing what we do. Our scripture reading was Acts 18, verses 24 and 26. Let us turn there, please. Acts 18, 24 and 26, and it says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately or completely. Apollos, a man of great ability, was mistaken about baptism. He was acquainted with the baptism of John only. Now, this baptism prepares one for Jesus. The one baptism mentioned in Ephesians 4:4 puts one into Christ. Now, Aquila and Priscilla took him to the side to explain the way of God more perfectly or completely. See, he was eloquent. He was mighty in the scriptures, but there's some things he didn't know. So no matter who we are, no matter if we are in Christ, no matter our level of spiritual maturity, we should always seek to learn. We should always seek to understand. Because if we understand and if we continue to understand God's word more perfectly, then we can do better things. We can reach more people. We can live a better life before God. Sister Anita's always saying, once you learn better, you do better. Isn't that so? Once we learn to do better, then we will do better. So if we're outside of Christ, we should always be looking to the Bible to gain a better understanding of the eternal purpose in Christ. Some things we need to understand completely. Hebrews 5:9. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but it's a list to help us to become better Christians and understand just a few things we need to do so that we can serve God in a better way. Hebrews 5:9. And talking about Jesus, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Jesus is the author of salvation. What does that mean? W. Vines, in his Dictionary of the New Testament Words, says that the word translated is author. It means that which causes something. Jesus caused eternal salvation for us. By Jesus down on the cross as a sin offering to God, this is the cause of our salvation. Jesus, although he was a son of God, learned obedience. Being the son of God, he learned obedience. As an example to us, we have to be obedient. Now, after baptism, a lot of people believe that they've crossed the finish line. After baptism, they think that now all they have to do is just wait for Jesus to come back. They don't have to do anything. Christians, once we are baptized into Christ, that's the start line. That's when we start learning and being obedient and growing. And a lot of Christians, they fail to understand that they have to grow in order to be pleasing in God's sight. You just can't be stagnant, because if you're stagnant, then you're moving backwards, you're not moving forward. And so we have to learn obedience just as Christ did. Romans 6:16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So if we use or lend our members to sin, that's who we obey. And we understand that sin leads to death, eternal separation from God. So we have to understand wherever we are lending our members, that's who is our master. That's who we are obeying. We need to be obeying Christ, but if we are caught up, then we are obeying sin, which leads to death. Now, the first part of that, it says, verse 15, it says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? Now, King James Version said, should we sin that grace may abound? Sometimes we get caught up in that. We'll sin, and then we say, I know God's going to forgive me for that. Because we're under grace, right? And we get caught up in that until where we can, sin is deceitful, and we can cause ourselves to continue in that sin and get caught up where we might even sometimes be overcome. So let us not lend our members to do sin, but lend our members, our body, as things of our things of righteousness, serving God. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus had a priority straight. Now, it didn't say he was going on a hunger strike, but he understood that the most important thing in his life was to do the will of the Father. How many of us feel that way? The most important thing in our lives is to do the will of the Father. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you had always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Just as I was saying before, once we come out of that water, we have to start working. Man. We have to start doing things. We just can't sit in the pews and thinking, let me just wait for Jesus to come back. We have to understand that we have to work, and we have to work out our own soul salvation, but we can only work out our own soul salvation if we understand what God would have us to do. What does the Lord require of me? That's what the answer we should be seeking to. What does he want from me? We talk about the parable of the talents. And I tell the young people that 6th through 9th grade, we teach, what is your talent? Find out what it is. We all have it. We all have a talent. And I want to make sure we understand what that means. If our talent is playing a musical instrument, it's not in worship that we show our talent, because we don't use mechanical instruments in our worship. Amen. But if you have a talent, discover what it is and then use it to God's glory. And that's what we should be doing. What is our talent? There's a lot of talented people here in this congregation. Are you using your talent the way God would have you to use it? Or are you wasting that talent? John 14:15. Jesus learned obedience, and so we should learn obedience as well. 14:15 of John says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus wants us to keep his commandments, and the text is, if you love me. And a lot of people say, well, I love the Lord. I love him. He's my Savior. He's my God. But they don't keep his commandments. Jesus said, well, you don't love me then if you don't keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Pretty easy. Eternal salvation is promised to all who obey him. And what does it mean to obey? To obey is do as one is told. It's the idea of doing exactly what we are told to do in the manner we are told to do it. Exactly the way we're told. We're told to meet on the first day of the week, and that's what we do. It doesn't leave any leeway for us to meet on the third day of the week. We have to meet on the first day of the week because that's what we're told to do. We're told to do to eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We can't say, well, let's do it on another day because we're told to do it on the first day of the week. Anything short of this is disobedience. If we're not doing exactly the way we're told, in the manner in which we're told, then it's disobedience. After baptism, Christians need to continue to obey. I think sometimes we forget about that. You know, once we become Christians, then we figure that everything is everything. We don't have to do anything. But we have to. We have to continue to obey. But we have to continue to grow. We just can't be stagnant. We have to grow. We need to completely understand. I'll back that up. We need to understand life is short. James 4:14. Life is short. I thought about this as I was putting this together. I can remember when me and my wife brought Malachi home from the hospital. I can remember that. And surely you can remember that, bringing your kids home from the hospital. And now he's in middle school. How fast did that go? I'm like, wow, you know, he's in middle school. And I just remember him, you know, changing his diapers and feeding him. Life is short. James 4:14. James 4:14. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. You know, in the wintertime, you sit in traffic and, you know, the white smoke from the coldness of the air. And you see it and sometimes you think, did I just see something? It's just that quick. Those vapors of smoke that come out of the exhaust. And that's how our life is. It's short. How are we using our life to the honor and glory of God? Are we wasting our time? Are we doing things we shouldn't be doing? Are we doing everything that we should be doing? A lot of folks, you know, they're doing just enough. Just enough. When we should be doing everything that we possibly can to the best of our ability. Ephesians 5:15-16. Ephesians 5:15-16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. The Bible's always telling us to be wise. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. The King James Version says redeem the time. Making the best use of our time because our time is short. We don't know when we're going to leave this earth, but we know for sure death will overtake us all. We know that. The Bible teaches that. So how are we redeeming the time? And I've seen this Barnes commentary. It says it means to rescue or recover our time from waste. To improve it for great and important purposes. Because the days are evil. There are many allurements and temptations that will lead us away from the improper improvement of time. You know, we always say, man, I want to do this, but this is drawing me away over here. I need to set time for this, but this has got my mind preoccupied. Redeeming time, we can do it by gaining useful knowledge. When we learn better, we do better. When we study God's word and make application of it, then we understand our time is short, we have work to do, and we need to get to that work. We can redeem the time in prayer and self-examination. Am I living the life I should be before God? Am I doing the things that I should be? Am I using my talent to the glory and honor of God? Am I doing these things? Self-examination. Because if we don't self-examine, then how are we going to know where we're going and which direction we're going? We need to constantly do a self-examination. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor and getting an examination. We need to examine ourselves to see what's going on, to see whether we are in the faith or not, whether we're doing the things that are righteous before God. Another thing the commentary says that seeking salvation and seeking to do the will of God. Not wasting our time on things that will not bring us salvation. And I know there's a lot of allurements out there. There's a lot of temptations that draw us away from serving God, that draw us away from wasting our time. But life is short. And the work that we have in front of us as individuals and as a congregation, we need to get to it. Because there's a lot of lost souls that we need to be talking to. There's a lot of people that don't know God, don't know Christ, don't understand their souls are in jeopardy. Yeah. And if we love the Lord, surely we love our fellow man, right? Because we know what Christ has done for us. Wouldn't we want the same for others? For them to understand as well what we understand? So life is short, like a vapor, and we shouldn't waste time. Time is of the essence. We need to understand that judgment is certain. It's coming. Don't know when it's coming, but it's coming. How are we living? Are we living righteous before God? Are we doing whatever we want to do? Thinking that's down the road. I don't have to worry about that. I'll worry about that later when I get older. I'll worry about that later. I ain't worried about it now. Yeah, it's certain, but I'm not going to worry about it now. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. It's certain. It's coming. And we yet need to be preparing for it. Getting ready for it. Because Christ is going to judge us for the things we've done in his body, whether good or bad. And we have to understand that. Because we can't continue to live and to waste time and not do the things God wants us to do. We have to be about. And I remember Brother Melvin, it comes to mind. Brother Melvin did a lesson about being about our Father's business. Are we about our Father's business? Are we about our own? Does our business take precedence over our Father's business? 2 Corinthians 5:10. Once it's, you know, sometimes when we study and read the Bible, it's so clear, isn't it? We can't twist it up unless we want to twist it up. Amen. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, if you believe this book is a revelation from God, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. God's saying, everybody will be judged. And it's coming. It's certain. Revelation 20:12. Here's even a scene from that day of the judgment day. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And the books were open. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Once again, how are we living? How am I living? Am I living the way I should be living? Am I doing the things God would have me to do, or am I wasting time? Am I putting my priorities before God's priorities? Am I seeking to be obedient the way Jesus was obedient to the Father? Or am I thinking, I'll get to that later. I'll do that later. Events on that day, 2 Peter 3:10. Second, there's going to be some things happening on that day. Peter tells us, 2 Peter 3:10. And this is why we should understand we have to prepare. Because it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief.
You won't know when it's coming. It's going to get you unaware. You won't be aware. And Jesus gave the lesson of the thief breaking into the strong man. If he knew the thief was coming, he would prepare himself. But Jesus said, I'm coming. Are we preparing ourselves? Once again, it says, Second Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. You know, this is what's going to happen on the day of judgment. These are the things that we have to prepare ourselves, because we're going to be held accountable for the things that we have done. Are we ready for the judgment? We sing that song, are you ready for judgment day? That's a question or something we can self-examine ourselves. Are we getting prepared for judgment day? No, we serve a merciful God. We serve a merciful God. He has given us opportunity to serve him, to take away all our past transgressions, and to be righteous before him. He offered his son as a sin offering for our sins. How merciful is that? Christ died the death of a criminal, and he was not a criminal. He did no sin. How merciful is that? And he's given us an opportunity to live righteous before him. You know, it's not easy being a Christian in the world. It's not. Because the world is going in one direction, and when we become Christians, we start going in the other direction. It's hard. It's not easy. It's difficult. But God has given us that seal of the Holy Spirit, and he's given us this book to guide us, and through the Holy Spirit, we can do it. But we have to have confidence in who we serve, right? Amen. Do you have confidence in the promises of God? We should have those confidence in those promises, because he will get us there, but we have to allow ourselves, as we were talking this morning, of making him the Lord in our lives. If he's not a Lord in our lives, we're not going to get there. We're not going to get there. But if he is Lord, we will get there, because we're putting him first. We're putting him on the throne of our heart so that we can get to heaven. Remember, Brother Wright used to say, if you don't want to go to heaven, you don't have to do nothing.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything. But if you want to go to heaven, you have to work.
Amen.
You have to study. You have to grow.
Amen.
So we understand that earth is going to pass away. It's temporary.
Amen.
The things we see are temporary.
Amen.
The things we can't see are eternal.
Amen.
There will be a separation, Matthew 10:34-35. Matthew 10:34-35. Well, I think that's not the scripture. Well, and I don't have the backup, but there is going to be a separation of the righteous and the unrighteous. That means we're living in this world. We live, we work together with sinners. We live close to sinners, and we all are together. But on the judgment day, there's going to be a separation. The righteous on the right and the unrighteous on the left. So we have to understand that on that day there will be a separating of folks. Some might be in our own family. We might be standing on the left and they're on the right. Or we might be on the right and they're on the left. So on that day, heaven and earth is going to pass away. Then there's going to be a separation. Judgment day will be a day filled of hope for the faithful. Philippians 1:21. The Bible teaches that hope is the anchor of the soul. That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to get to heaven. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that's, if we live and let Christ be Lord, and we're hoping we're going to get to heaven. And when that day comes, how much peace and just love and all the hope is gone, but we'll just be so much joy, unspeakable joy on that day if we've been faithful to the Lord. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. We have hope now, but we want that hope fulfilled, don't we? Because that's why we're here tonight on this evening. That's why we study our Bibles. That's why we talk to our neighbors. That's why we talk to our co-workers, because we have that hope and we're confident in the promises of God. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I am already, Paul talking here, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Are you ready to receive that crown? Are we living our lives faithful unto God? That hope will be fulfilled. God does not shirk on his promises. If he said it, it will be done.
Amen.
And we will receive that crown of righteousness if we're faithful. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. Our minds can't comprehend the joy once we cross over into heaven. We can't comprehend that. But we know God's promise is true. We know he won't fail on that promise. Now, the judgment day will be a day of fulfilled hope for the faithful, and that's going to be great. But judgment day will be a day of sorrow, regret, and fear for the wicked. Revelation 20, 15. Revelation 20, 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. How much sorrow would that be? Well, man, I should have done this and I should have done that. Oh, how I regret not picking up that Bible. How I regret not looking and seeing what he was saying. How I regret not accepting that Bible study that person offered to me. Man, I regret that. Colossians 3, 5 through 6. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And this is why. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming on these things. And on that day, if we continue to practice these things now, on that day, we will be regretful. But there won't be anything we can do about it. Now's the time we can do something about it. Now's the time that we can have a change of heart if we allow God's word to help us to make that change. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who don't know God are in those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many books in the library down in Fort New York. There's probably about tens of thousands of books. But I believe there's only one book in that library that can get you to know God if you read it and study. There's only one book. And those who don't know God, Christ will inflict vengeance on. The judgment day for the wicked will be a day of sorrow, regret, and fear. Because if you're on the left side, there ain't nothing but fear for what's coming your way. And if you're on the right, there ain't nothing but joy for what's coming your way. Which side will you be on? What side will you be separated to? Will it be the left or the right? Today is a day of salvation. Today is a time where if you're not living right, you can begin right now. You can begin right now. If you're here with us tonight, you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. To hear, John 6, 44-45, to believe, to hear the gospel, believe the gospel, Mark 16:16. Repent of your sins. Now, if you're going this way right now, you repent now, you're going to start going this way. Confession. Make the good confession, Romans 10:9-10. Allow yourself or submit yourself to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and then live faithful. Revelations 2:10. If you're a Christian and you haven't been living right, we want you to come back. We want you to come back and take your place with us to serve God and to continue to grow and continue to be righteous before God. We encourage you to do that. If you're subject to the invitation, come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.